All right, hi guys, welcome back to Director's Cut, a pretentious podcast about anything and everything film related. My name is Cameron.
And I'm Ethan.
And today we're going to do a podcast all about Wes Anderson. So Ethan, if you want to take it from there.
Yeah, Wes Anderson is a very good visionary filmmaker. He makes visually stunning movies. Mm-hmm. And we will be talking about a few of them today. His recent film that's coming out is called The French Dispatch, and we will talk about that more later in the podcast. But our first film is Fantastic Mr. Fox. Now, Cameron, what were your thoughts on Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Well, okay, so basically, I think it's like a great movie for like all ages. I enjoyed it like when it first came out, so I was super, super young. And like when I rewatched it the other day, I like picked up on a few jokes that I like definitely didn't understand when I was younger. So I think it's good because you got like that whole age aspect, but like it's not, I don't know how to explain it. I don't know. It's like there's no problem with it at all. Like I don't have any problems with it at all. The screenplay is incredible. Actually, I actually talked to Ethan about this before. Noah Baumbach actually helped Wes Anderson with the screenplay for Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is incredible and shows you how versatile his writing can be.
Yes. And for those who don't know, he was the director of Academy Award nominated Marriage Story, which I thoroughly loved myself.
Yeah, we both did. It was masterpiece for sure from last year. But where we have Wes Anderson, who's kind of his screenplays, the way his visionaries, they're all extremely the same. His casts are the same. So to have Noah Baumbach in there, and you got this like different feel in the writing almost. I didn't notice that it was Noah Baumbach until the credits rolled, but you kind of get that feeling where it is Wes Anderson, but the characters seem more like real life rather than like that like fake personality that Wes Anderson usually portrays.
Like the,
if that makes any sense.
The dreamlike, almost like deadpan. I think that's the word for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I talked about this before about Royal Tenenbaums, where that's kind of earlier Wes Anderson.
Yeah.
And you get that kind of, you get characters in the characters rather than you get these dolls playing on these dollhouse kind of sets that he creates with his vision. So
that
was interesting.
That's a fantastic way of putting it. Now for Fantastic Mr. Fox, I thought that this was a fantastic movie. Get it? Because it's the movie's called Fantastic Mr. Fox. I call it fantastic. That's what I call comedy. Anyway, it does a fantastic way of conveying these mature themes. Like, Noah Baumbach, who wrote the screenplay, like we've said, did Marriage Story, also like we said. So, and that is a very heavy and deep film about the how divorce works, and it's very, very mature. And I think that he brings some of that flavor to the script. You get themes of, you know, reputation, jealousy, animalistic characteristics, which is kind of, it's a big theme about, like, who are we truly, people perceive us to be. And I thought that they pulled it off wonderfully. It is one of my favorite animated films.
And, oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. Yeah. Stay with me. Mm-hmm. But you get that childlike whimsy, but you get that, you still get the flavor, you know?
Yeah, the flavor.
Of, like, having a genuinely good written movie. Same thing with Coraline, which is definitely another one of my favorite animated movies. You get that whimsy of just the way the stop motion is portrayed on the screen, but you still get that hard, gritty, like, feeling while watching it. So it's not just like simply a child's movie, which again is great for all ages. You get that.
Oh yeah, this could have easily been a film. It was adapted from the book by, yeah. I forget who the author was.
Roald Dahl.
Oh, really?
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. But if this was an original script, this could have easily been done with humans and like live action, but it would have none of the subtleties to it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
How this appeals to children in the way that they're like talking animals, and it's very bright and it has like a very, like you said, whimsical aesthetic. And I feel that it's so much better that it's like a kid's film as well as it is a film for adults.
Okay, I have a hard question. I don't know, it might not be hard. It's not hard for me. Isle of Dogs or Fantastic Mr. Fox?
Come on. Well, this might come as a shock to you, but I have not fully finished Isle of Dogs. I know. I know. I'm
shame.
I know. I'm sorry. But
no, it's
so I don't really have a say on it. But I did adore Fantastic Mr. Fox, so I feel like it will be hard to beat. But what would you pick?
Oh, Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Yes, I love it.
Yeah. Okay, so Isle of Dogs is great, and it deserves so much more recognition. It's like it's on Netflix. I'm not sure why there's no really popularity around it, but
because I haven't seen it.
There you go. But same thing with Fantastic Mr. Fox. It definitely gets more recognition than Isle of Dogs. But you can like see the work put into like the making of these movies for sure. But Fantastic Mr. Fox, I just think, has a overall stronger storyline. Mm-hmm. Whereas Isle of Dogs is put out in a more creative way.
Yeah.
Where you have I think it's Japanese they're speaking. They speak in Japanese, and then there's it's getting dubbed over like in English, which I think was super, super creative.
Yeah.
Like I know now we're getting all these on TV with the news that it's all in French and then it's like dubbed over in English.
Yeah.
So watching this in quarantine, pretty great.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Also, Fantastic Mr. Fox is on Disney Plus now, so please do check it out.
Yes, for sure.
As for favorite scenes, what would you say yours are?
Okay, so the conversations underground between Mr. Fox and his wife, specifically the ones in the mineral thing with like the diamonds in the background.
Oh yeah,
and the waterfall.
Oh, that was
one.
Such a good scene. I loved how it looked.
Stunning. You get Here's a good like kind of idea. We're gonna be talking more about Grand Budapest later, but you get that like close up of their face with the beauty in the background, which is the same kind of idea of the shot of Saoirse Ronan.
Yes.
Grand Budapest.
Such a good scene. Yes. Yes.
So
yes.
Little crossover kind of
exactly.
there. That was but those scenes were really stand out to me. Also, the symmetry of the entire movie, you get in most Wes Anderson, you get a lot of symmetry put into sets and stuff like that. But that just kind of has to be brought up. The overall, the stop motion was done really well. Another thing that I liked about, I love Wes Anderson's stop motions because it's the same as his style in live action. Whereas with like Tim Burton, his animation is completely different from his live action, which makes him very versatile. But still, you get more like if you're watching a Wes Anderson, it's a Wes Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas Tim Burton, it's you have Batman.
Oh yeah, that's true. I don't know how.
Which
we
is like
Batman.
You don't even associate that as Tim Burton almost. But
oh no.
Yeah.
What if Wes Anderson did a Batman movie or something in like the Marvel films?
On my other podcast, we talked about what if Wes Anderson did the new Ghostbusters.
That would be amazing.
Be way better than it actually is probably going
get
to be.
Get Greta Gerwig in there, Saoirse Ronan.
Right.
Get Timmy in there somehow.
Just get the get that regular Wes Anderson cast in there, you know, like Owen Wilson.
Wow, ghost.
The ghost of Owen Wilson.
Oh my god. I would pay so much money to see that.
Anything else?
My favorite scene in this film, and maybe my favorite in the whole Wes Anderson filmography, is in Fantastic Mr. Fox. Oh. It's the scene near the end where, no spoilers, I'm not going to tell you like what happened then. But Mr. Fox comes across a wolf, and
oh, that was beautiful.
I'm not going to say what happens, but there's a connection between the two that I found so emotional and deep for the character of Mr. Fox. Mm-hmm. And it blew me away, because I thought that this film couldn't, you know, get better with its like its symbolism and its metaphors. And then that scene happens and it just like switches your whole
your idea of the film, basically. Yeah,
it switched there.
Mm-hmm. Which, with Wes Anderson, you don't really feel emotion often in this film. Royal Tenenbaums, there's a scene that should be disturbing, but the way it's shot and the comedy almost behind it just kind of like makes it like numb. Like it doesn't feel doesn't feel like that. But that scene with the foxes or the wolf was truly something to remember.
That's going in my top 15 favorite scenes of all time. So well done, and the animation is brilliant. I guess you can say it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That's the fifth time I've said that. I'm marking it down.
That's good. keep count.
Yep, keeping count. Is there anything else that we should say about?
What would you rate it out of 10?
You go first. I'm not too sure yet. I want to see where.
Okay. I'm going to give it a generous 8 out of 10.
Okay. All right.
Which, like, I don't think it's like a 10 out of 10, because it's not like Parasite's a 10 out of 10. And that's what I always bring it back to, is like comparing a movie to Parasite. Like, I'm not going to say, wow, Fantastic Mr. Fox is also a 10 out of 10.
The Parasite of animation. Whoa, that's a pretty cool quote.
That's...
Put that on your Blu-rays. Yeah,
honestly, we need to come up with like a film to base off for like perfect animation and then perfect... Live action.
Wouldn't this be perfect animation?
True.
There's probably better out there. Yeah, I guess. If we're
comparing it against live action, just film in general, it's an 8 out of 10. But if you're comparing it to just stop motion animation, this is definitely a 10 out of 10. So that's why I'm going to say like a generous 8 out of 10.
Okay. So what you just said there kind of brought me back and got me thinking. Because I was ready to slam a 10 out of 10 here, but... that's not what this is. It doesn't aspire to be a perfect movie like films like Parasite do and anything like that. But I'm gonna give this a 9.5 out of 10, just because it got me thinking about, you know, the film and its meanings, and that's the best compliment I can give a film, that it got me thinking.
And you can see the work behind it, which is so important in a film. Which you see in Parasite.
Yes, Parasite.
Like Bong Joon-ho, you see the work put in behind it. So
we gotta do Parasite sometime. Yeah. We gotta give our like full thoughts on that.
Yes, we talk about it.
Yes. So is that our conversation for Fantastic Mr. Fox?
I think so. In conclusion, in summary, you should watch Fantastic Mr. Fox. It's on Disney Plus.
It is truly and utterly fantastic.
Utterly.
Aha.
That's number six.
Six times. I'm a comedian here. Next. Yep. Next we have Moonrise Kingdom. I forget the year this was made. But it was a time where Wes Anderson kind of switched it up and took his idiosyncrasies and turned them all into one movie. You know, this is the most Wes Anderson movie I think I've ever seen. Yeah.
True.
So yeah. What are your thoughts on Moonrise Kingdom?
It's one of my favorite films of all time. I know, it's...
I'm surprised.
When I first watched it...
Yeah,
are you really?
I don't know. Actually, no, come to think of it, yeah. That's...
It's a pretty Cameron kind of movie.
It's one of those Cameron movies, yes.
Yeah. I'm kind of weird like that. But, no, when I first watched Moonrise Kingdom, I had watched it, like, basically directly after watching Royal Tenenbaums. And it just, like... I think that kind of helped because I don't like Royal Tenenbaums
at all.
Yeah, I have
mixed feelings on it.
So, yeah, I feel like everybody does. Like, mm-hmm. You kind of like it,
yeah.
But Moonrise Kingdom, no. I was watching it, and you just get that Wes Anderson feel to it because it's just so quirky. Mm-hmm. And I just... The beauty of it, the script is genius. Honestly, the acting is pretty good considering that they're, like, basically not human-like in the way that they talk or act.
Mm-hmm.
So... And it's not exactly a Wes Anderson kind of cast.
No, yeah.
I mean, it is in a sense, but like...
Bruce Willis? He's in there.
Yep. Yeah, and the child actors in them, I don't remember their names off the top of my head, but they did a fantastic job of portraying this reality. And it felt real at the same time that it didn't. So I feel like that was all over the place, but... I just love this movie. I'll go into detail more later, but yeah.
I mean, I think that this is such a precious movie and something that would be regarded as like a cult classic in many years. It's just such a great movie. I love the cinematography. I love the 60s aesthetic to it. Aesthetic, I don't know why I said aesthetic, whatever. Aesthetic. Oh my gosh. Get it together, Ethan.
We're
I
so
know,
Canadian.
Eh?
Oh god.
What is it? Anyway, so I love the story, although my only flaw... I'm going to bring my flaw up now just so I don't have to like hold it anymore.
Yeah.
The story's kind of generic. I'm sorry. It's...
It's
a generic story done in such a creative way that I can look past that and adore it because it's...
Yeah, that's basically the same as me. Like,
and it's kind of... it's like all of these films are like that, so I can't really fault it because, like, The Royal Tenenbaums is like a family drama by Wes Anderson. You know, The Darjeeling Limited is like a brother story, a film about family also, but done in Wes Anderson. You know, it's something like that.
Yeah.
This is like coming of age.
Yeah.
But it's Wes Anderson.
Yeah. Grand Budapest kind of gets more into having an actual, genuinely good storyline.
Very creative, yes.
Yeah.
But other than that, it's a great movie. Yeah. Yay.
Favorite shot?
Oh, favorite shot. Oh, gosh. Probably the wide shot of the place where they end up on that little beach where like they just get there. It's like the whole scope of it is amazing. And it's beautiful.
Okay. Mine's probably when they're on the beach and the girl just like strips down and they start dancing.
Oh yeah.
I just think that's so
with,
fun.
With Francoise Henry? I like to say that's her name. On the record player. So that's such a good scene. I don't know. I have it on my Spotify playlist. It's so good.
Our Spotify
they're
pretty good.
They're
pat on the back. that scene is really incredible. I also weirdly like the scene where she's like I don't really know, she's like in the upstairs of her house.
Oh
like,
yeah, that is
reading.
That like the opening scene or something like that.
Like I think it's our first scene that we see of her. I don't really remember, but I it's pretty Wes Anderson, yeah. Pretty generic, but I still think like it's kind of just kind of
nice. There's not one weak shot in here. Everything's so original and unique that I don't know. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Yeah, and you get that like it feels like it's not like you feel that like secondhand embarrassment almost because it's like young love.
It feels
like kind of really relatable for some reason, even though the story like I can't relate to it at all. So I don't know. I just think it's really cute. It's a cute movie to watch. As for like age to watch it, I feel like it's definitely like a teenager that's interested in movies kind of will
show
watch.
This, like I can't picture 12-year-olds. They'd be like, "What is going on?"
And like an adult would be like still like unless you're a fan of Wes Anderson, like you wouldn't really understand the abnormality.
Is that?
I can't even.
Something like that.
You know what I mean. Yeah.
It's good. I like it.
Mm-hmm. And the screenplay was also co-written by Roman.
Yes,
Coppola,
and Wes Anderson himself.
Yes. I'm not really familiar with. I'm not sure how to pronounce.
Oh my gosh, he's brothers with Nicolas Cage. Yeah, because
no way,
he's Francis Ford Coppola's son, and so is Nick Cage. So that's pretty amazing.
Wow, I had no
idea. See, the more you know.
Sorry to Nick Cage.
Nick Cage, worship that man.
Oh, it looks like he also helped with basically every Wes Anderson movie.
That family.
That's
the father is an Academy Award winner. The daughter is a director. One of the brothers is Nick Cage, needs no explanation. And the other one works on Wes Anderson movies.
The man himself.
Oh my gosh. That's quite amazing.
Legendary.
So do we have anything more to say about Moonrise Kingdom?
What would you rate it at the
time? I'm thinking about this a while, but I think I give it an 8.5 out of 10.
Mm-hmm, fair enough. I'd probably give it like an 8.5, nine. Kind of like an 8.7 maybe.
You had to one-up me there.
Yeah. I know. I don't remember what I wrote like directly after I watched it. Which was probably like a 10 out of 10 again. But that happens.
Yeah.
I do that sometimes.
Oh, that's a story right there. 11 out of 10. Okay.
We're not going to talk about Joker
Let's talk
very
about
much.
A much better podcast. Movie than Joker. The Grand Budapest Hotel. Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Oh, getting right to that's 7. That's 7. Yep.
Oh, is that
we're
that's
carrying
I thought
on.
That was our
we're
segue.
Carrying on.
Yeah. Okay, first of all, the movie poster itself is stunning. I was gonna say it was the first Wes Anderson movie I've ever watched, but that's not true. I don't know what made me think that, but I think it's kind of when I fell in love with Wes Anderson is when I watched Grand Budapest, because I think I watched it when I last watched it I was like getting like deja vu from remembering some scenes, but I don't really remember watching it prior to that, so I possibly have watched it before it like I before I apparently first watched it. I don't know. That's confusing. Yeah. It's good.
Whoa.
Not my favorite.
Why am I surprised? Wait, what?
It's...
you said... Is this better than Moonrise Kingdom in your opinion? Or no? Oh, what?
No.
Wow. Okay. I'm surprised.
Moonrise Kingdom is... it's a toss-up between Fantastic Mr. Fox.
Well, I've been consistently blown away right now. Whoa.
Mm-hmm. My, did you Why?
I always thought that Grand Budapest was your favorite out of them. Oh, wow.
No.
Okay. So, okay, we'll do the ranking after. We'll wait.
Yeah. We'll do that last.
Okay, yes, carry on. Sorry about that.
I love the idea of having a Wes Anderson with an actual storyline, going back to that. It's a very strong storyline, too. The shots are stunning. I just feel like I wish that there was some more character to the characters, you know? Because it's that very doll in a dollhouse, because the sets are extravagant. You have these people that have no expression on their face.
Yeah.
I'll go into that when we talk about our favorite shot, but yeah.
Oh, Saoirse Ronan. We have not talked about her.
Stunning.
We did Lady Bird.
We
about Saoirse Ronan. The God bless her.
Yes.
Yes.
The queen herself.
So we do. Yes.
We love her.
It's yeah, she's an amazing actor. Watch all of her movies. I don't care. The Lovely Bones wasn't that good, but watch it. Watch it. It's Saoirse Ronan.
Watch it anyways.
And Stanley Tucci.
Come on. Tucci.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci. Cool guy. Anyways, the Grand Budapest Hotel.
Yep.
Oh, my thought. Oh, okay.
Your thoughts?
I'm kind of scared to say mine now. I had this down as my. I had this down as my favorite Wes Anderson movie.
This is an open space.
Yeah. It's just such a large and, dare I say, grand, that's one, story that is extremely compelling. Comedian. I can't stop. I'm just that funny. Round of applause.
You're on a roll.
thank you. I think that this is his funniest movie and his most dramatic movie, which and it does a great job of balancing those emotions.
It's easily the funniest. We'll talk easily
about that
in
our favorite shots thing, because I have mine. Oh.
Same.
Oh my gosh.
I think we might have the same.
We'll have to wait and see.
Yes.
Yeah, this is one of the best looking movies I've ever seen. I mean, I'm a sucker for some symmetry. Yes.
Right?
The colors are to die for. To die for.
Die Hard.
Bruce Willis
Die
from
Hard.
Bruce Kingdom. We're making connections.
We are.
Hey,
I didn't really mean to do
all
that,
the better.
But it happened anyways.
Oh my gosh. It's amazing.
I would love to open up a bakery and call it Midnight, by the way.
You might want
to
get the copyrights
out there
from whoever done that.
Yeah, no, I thought that.
Call up
Wes. Wes Anderson can, like, I can meet him and, like, have him
just
sign away the rights to
Midnight. Just ask for a signature and have it be, like, the lawyer's thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly.
I'll wear a corduroy suit
to catch
to meet
his attention.
Him too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We are one with Wes.
Yes. and also one of the best things about this is how he handles action. He shoots his car chase scenes and action scenes so Wes Anderson like.
Wes Anderson himself.
I thought he was always more of
a Wes Anderson
kind of guy,
star?
But okay, you know,
yeah.
He is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
But every time, like, there's a certain gunfight where it's done in all wide shots and it looks amazing, and there's a car and there's a chase scene on skis and a toboggan. That's like a
toboggan.
Fun word, toboggan.
Sorry, that made me laugh.
Whoa. Word of the day, toboggan.
Yeah.
And Tucci.
Mm-hmm. Not fantastic.
Tucci,
it's
fantastic,
toboggan.
And toboggan. Write them down. Those are your words of the week.
Yep.
Yes.
In your vocabulary book.
Oh my
gosh. We are getting so off track.
anyways, And the toboggan scene is done in stop motion, which is pretty amazing. And yeah, so mm-hmm. that's my thoughts. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Overall, you go first. Favorite shot.
No,
I'm,
no,
now I'm scared that it's not going to be the
Mine's
same one.
Mine's very weird.
Okay. I never, like, legitimately, like, laugh when I'm watching a movie. And I did when I saw this scene. It's when, like, the police yes. are in the lobby and he comes in.
You got it.
And they're about to arrest him.
Just,
and he
just like, sprints away.
And
it's all done
away.
In, like, steady shot.
With the, like, yeah, and yeah. the no expression on his face just, oh, it sent me. That was my favorite scene. I, like, laughed so hard. And it's not even, like, that funny, but, like, it's just the whole, like, it's, like, it's, I feel like yeah. it's something I would do. Which is probably what
and another,
laugh so hard.
So that's my favorite shot right there, and you explained it perfectly. But
okay,
another one
we got
is
the
when,
same one.
Like, it's the will and testament of Tilda Swinton's character. And he gets the boy with apple, and mm-hmm. Adrian Brody just like he like calls him a fruit or something, and with no emotion he goes, "Well, how is that supposed to make me feel?" And I died. I don't know why. I was just like, "What?" But yeah,
yeah.
I don't know. The weird things that make me laugh. Wes can shoot like a depressing yeah. horror movie, and I still laugh. Yeah. That sounded very
yes.
weird. I'm
mm-hmm.
sorry if you felt uncomfortable during that.
Yeah. But if nobody's watched a Wes Anderson movie and is, like, listening to this podcast, they're
yeah.
going to be
oh
very
my gosh,
confused.
Yeah. actually, that's a question. Which movie should they start off with if they're... I think Fantastic
I
Mr.
Like...
Fox. Because that's
yeah.
an introduction to his style
yeah,
and his stop motion, so it's like two in one.
True. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Fantastic Mr. Fox. I'd probably end with like
yeah.
Grand Budapest.
Yeah.
You get to work up to that like
bam.
Bam.
It's
West
in
Anderson.
All of his glory. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're actually working up
oh,
to French Dispatch currently.
I don't
but...
know. September, October? I forget.
I think it was October.
Wait that long.
Wait, who knows?
Yeah, we'll talk about it more.
We'll talk about that at the end. Yeah. Anyways, yeah, I think for like, we get those a couple beautiful shots. Not just like funny, but like, again, the Saoirse Ronan shot. And I like the one. Oh my god, I'm so ashamed. I don't remember the
oh,
name
Tilda
of the
Swinton.
Lady who died.
Oh, Madame D.
Yes. Yes. When
yeah.
she's
oh,
laying
yes.
in the coffin.
That's good.
A beautiful
Very
shot
beautiful
as well.
With the flowers and everything. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, are we yep. thinking ratings, or do you have any more to say?
All
right.
Let's go
where
for
where
ratings.
Are you going for this? Oh, come
gosh, you're
great.
Going.
I'm setting the bar high. Okay. I no flinching. Mm-hmm. 9.5 out of 10. Oh my god, I'm sorry. I am so sorry.
That's really high for you.
It's everything I want in a movie. That yes, oh my gosh. Because I gave Lady Bird a 10, and I gave What's Eating Gilbert Grape an 8.5. Spoilers for the episode before this. I do not rate this high. Please believe me. I am pretentious. I am a critic.
8.5, I was like...
I know.
Is so high for both of us. I feel like we rate everything with an 8.5 and we still say it's super high, but I feel like
yeah.
we just have
we need
good
to do like a meh movie just to show them like that we're professionals. Us professionals.
Yeah, we
see.
Yeah. You give us a
yeah,
mediocre
we're
movie,
like
we're giving it
a
4.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, I saw a movie called Capone with Tom Hardy, and that movie sucked. I'm giving it a 4 out of 10. Mm. Mini Capone review right there. Yeah.
Yeah. We're actually... Tom Hardy made me think of something else that I'm going to talk about when we talk about
oh my
what we've
gosh.
Been watching. I have
oh,
something to bring up.
I can't wait. Rating. What would you give?
But, yes... gosh, I'm gonna give it like a 7.8.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I can see, yeah, I can totally see
that's
like,
not bad.
Where like it could falter. But yeah, cool.
Yeah.
I'm glad you didn't hate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are our three films. So, now, what would you like to do first? What we're watching or French Dispatch?
Let's grand finale it with the French Dispatch. So, I have something to bring up before we go into what we've been watching. Okay. Ethan and I had our first disagreement about the movie.
Wait, did we? Oh, wait.
So, you hear us disagreeing about ratings, and you hear us being shocked at each other's opinions, but this is the first time that we've ever been, like,
I forgot what this is for. Oh, my gosh. Okay, say it.
How? Anyways, I'll talk about this.
Oh, yes.
The announcement of a Scarface. I guess it's kind of like a
remake? It's a remake. It's a remake.
A sequel? A remake? Mm-hmm. The third remake? I don't want it to happen.
I do. Do we want to talk about like our ups and downs with it?
Okay. We're just going to touch on it because otherwise we could make an entire podcast about this.
Is this what reminded you of Tom Hardy?
I'm going to plead my case. Yeah, because I saw somebody in the comments was saying that Tom Hardy should play him.
Great. So you go with your negatives first.
Negative Nelly. Which I'm not. Yeah. Just in the sense that I don't want... Nobody will be able to do it like Al Pacino. Nobody.
Okay.
Not a single person. I don't care how good the screenwriting is. I don't care how much this person looks like him. They are not going to be able to portray the role in any sense that would make me happy. Yay. Am I going to watch the movie?
That's good.
I can't just like say like, oh, this is my petition. You have to sign to not get Scarface. I want to watch it, but I don't.
Okay, I can totally see, and I think that's what many people are thinking. That it's like, oh, Hollywood's so they're so unoriginal. They're remaking classics. I'm quite a positive person myself. So right when I saw this, I was like, okay, I have my doubts, but it could be good. It has director Luca Guadagnino from the director of Call Me By Your Name, which I think is a wonderful movie. Same with Suspiria, which I think is pretty spooky, but I do love it nonetheless. I feel that if he's given a great script, it could be a very well-directed movie. Now, as for acting... I'm still kind of weary on that. Now, if they get some brilliant up-and-comer, that could be fine, you know? I don't know if they're going to try and remake Scarface 1983 one, or they're going to go to the remake, I mean, the original about Al Capone. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 1932.
Yeah.
I might be wrong, but that is another very fantastic movie. But I just kind of want people to know that Scarface, the 1983 film, isn't original in the fact that it was based on the 1932 one. So that's kind of like my bounce back. Like, that's like, you can say anything and I'd be like, well, it's not original. But I do still have my doubts and all that.
So... I saw a bunch of people saying Oscar Isaac.
I would flipping love that. And a little movie called A Most Violent Year, produced by A24, can back me up on that.
Mm-hmm.
He was so terrifying in that role. And he played a gangster, like, and it focused on family life and all that. Kind of like Scarface. But it could be absolutely great if Oscar Isaac pulls off a career-defining performance.
Yeah, I would hate for them to take, like, to make it as, like, pleasing to
imagine
a PG-13
Scarface.
Possible.
Just imagine that.
Yeah, exactly. And they have an actor, like, to basically just
Timothée
get
Chalamet.
The people to come in and...
yeah.
That's what I'm hinting at. If they had Timothée Chalamet come in, they're not going to have people that genuinely liked the original.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or not the original. You know what I mean? Like, the other Scarfaces. And I would just hate to see... Okay.
Yes.
Dr. Sleep, for example. I feel...
Yeah.
Ewan McGregor.
Yeah, it was a solid...
It was okay.
Good. Maybe like a 7 out of 10.
Yeah. So, but I didn't feel like that was geared towards people that genuinely liked the original Shining, but to try and get more people to kind of feed into, like, a new generation to feed into that culture.
Yeah.
Almost money grab.
Oh,
season 4
Nobody's
Stranger Things kind of thing.
Anymore. They got better stuff to put their mind to. Oh, that ruined
exactly.
it.
Exactly. That, like, teaser came out, and I was like, I wasn't even fazed by it. Like, me last
like,
year would have been like, oh,
sends it to
God.
Everybody.
But now I'm just kind of like, I don't... Yeah, I didn't want a season 4, and I knew that.
Yeah.
The end of season 3 was perfect until after the credits when we get that...
More
Russians.
Oh, my
thing.
Gosh.
But actually, the teaser... came out early because Noah Schnapp, who plays Will Byers, accidentally said in a press conference that David Harbour's character, Hopper, has a exceeding like script in season 4 when we all thought he was dead. So that's why they came out with the teaser so early.
I don't know.
How'd you start talking about Stranger Things?
I guess it's
news.
True, yeah. So Scarface, I'm positive about it. I'm thinking that it has the potential to be good. Nothing will be as good as 1983 one. I love that movie. But I'm always up for a nice ambitious look at the Brian De Palma film.
Yeah, I think I would love to be proved wrong. So I'd love to watch it and be like, wow, that was fantastic. But I don't want it to overshadow 1983.
Yeah. So, would you like to get to the French Dispatch now? Oh, yes.
After
of course.
We say what we've been watching.
So.
Yes. Do you like to go ahead? You've been watching way more than me.
Wow, I need to like pick one. Okay. So, I watched a... what did I watch? Okay. I need to think about this for a bit. Great one. I watched a film by South Korean filmmaker Park Chan-wook, and it was called The Handmaiden. It's a movie about...
I've heard of it.
I don't want to give anything away. It's something about someone's inheritance and... All you need to know is that it revolves around these people who aren't as they seem. I think that's it is based in 1930s Japan, and I check it out. It is very it won't be for everyone. It's extremely gratuitous and sometimes off-putting, but I loved it myself. It's one of the best films of the 2010s. Check it out if you're interested.
Yep.
Look it up, though. You know, don't go in blind. Actually, kind of going blind. I don't know.
Yes.
Cameron, what did you watch?
Wait, hold on. Go back. You
yes,
watched A Clockwork
I did watch A Clockwork
Orange.
Orange. Oh, no. No.
Was
I
that your first time watching?
Times.
I don't remember.
But yes, also.
No?
Thing.
Okay.
Clockwork Orange is fantastic. I love it. It's Kubrick's best, in my opinion. Yes, also check that one out. Do a back-to-back and then come back to me and tell me how terrified you are now.
Yes, I for those listening.
Yeah, I can totally see too that. Too afraid though, to watch it. It is incredibly disturbing. Like,
yeah, I have seen clips. I don't remember. I think it was for something for a school project. I was looking at clips of it, and
yeah,
I can already tell. Kubrick did an amazing job. Performances are exceptional. But
yeah,
if you don't know what A Clockwork Orange is, it's for look you, it up. And then watch a few clips this. Online. You'll never be able to listen to Singing in the Rain the same ever again. So I talked to Ethan about this like a long time ago, saying that I'm gonna wait until truly appreciate it.
That's what I tell everybody.
And
when
not
people
be cringing
bring up things like Wolf of Wall Street, and they're like, I really like Scorsese. I really want to watch it, but I don't know if I can really like it yet. I'm like, wait until you hit that time in your life where you can fully accept what's happening on screen and on paper, and then like write down wherever you think.
Yeah, no, I also it's need just to see very Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not scared to see that.
I think
that.
We touched on that.
Yeah, I'm not.
Yeah.
I want to see it. I just haven't yet. That's me with a lot of movies. I say that I want to see a lot, but I just don't get around to doing it, which I'll talk about in a little bit when I talk about what I've been watching.
No, I think that's good with me.
Anything else?
I've seen tons of movies, and those are just the few that I'd like to talk about a bit. Pardon me.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I'm going to go into movies, TV, and books, because if I just say my movies, it's not going to be too great. But so movies, I watched The Help and Marvin's Room. So The Help, super, super, super important movie and book, which I'll be talking about in my book section. It's not a book that, or it's not a movie that I can rate on a scale of 1 to 10, because it's just an important piece of
media.
Art, not necessarily a piece of, it's a piece of cinema, but it's not something that I sit down and just watch. It's after finishing the book, it's kind of like seeing it all come together on the screen, which it was beautiful. Performance wise was exceptional. Some tears pricked my eyes, but did not come out.
Awesome.
So held strong. Marvin's Room I also watched with an incredible cast, may I say. Meryl Streep, Diane Keaton, Robert De Niro, and Leonardo DiCaprio. It was good. Wasn't great. Wasn't bad. It was just fun to watch.
I would watch Marvin's Room a few weeks back, and I had the same idea with you. I'd give it maybe a 6.5, 7 out of 10. Probably 6.5,
same with me.
I
lean more towards on the 6 side.
It had all the ingredients to make a great movie. It just didn't totally follow through.
Would
have been much worse.
Without that cast, it would not be. TV.
Great.
Weirdly been getting into TV more. I've never really in the past. So I watched the entire first season of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air in
a
day
best
and
thing
a half.
You said on this podcast. That is mind blowing.
Thank you.
I love that.
It underrated show. I feel like some people may say it's overrated, but I think it deserves more hype. I also, you're gonna hate me for this, Ethan. I watched the Netflix original Never Have I Ever in another one day, and
Bad.
But I could not stop watching it. It was like I just wanted to see what was going to happen.
Yeah,
I don't know. It was bad. That's all I have to say about that. Acting was bad.
It's like Grease.
High schoolers are played by adults. It's
yeah.
Yeah. It was weird.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Oh great.
Yes, actually, I'm gonna rapid fire through this.
I finished
started
that,
Surviving R.
Like,
Kelly.
Like 2 days ago.
A docuseries.
It's so hard hitting.
Really?
It's.
Oh, I'm almost done. It really is. It was really eye opening because. Okay, I'm going to be honest,
yeah,
I didn't really exactly realize who R. Kelly was. I'd heard all, I'd seen, like, things online about it, but, and seen the thing for Netflix come up for it, but I hadn't really realized that, who he was, and that I had been, like, listening to his songs when I was, like, in grade 7. So, it's kind of hard to go through that, but, yeah, it's pretty hard to watch, but honestly, it's something important. I also started Self-Made, which is a limited series on Netflix. Hold on. It is starring give me 2 seconds. It is starring Octavia Spencer, who also plays Minnie Jackson on The Help. So it's the story of Madam C.J. Walker.
Oh my gosh.
It's being a self-made millionaire, basically.
That show was filmed over near near us. I know it's very vague. Very vague, yeah. Somewhere near us, I actually had to walk on. I didn't have to walk on set, but I walked on set and I saw everybody in their like costumes and all that, and it was amazing.
Oh no way! Wait! Oh my gosh! Wait!
Yeah.
Holy. Okay, I remember this being filmed.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that
right
this
over,
was.
You know, and yeah, I actually saw like the set stuff and all that. You could see like where it started and where it ended, and actually went and watched the scenes. Once again, I had no idea that this was the show you were talking about, and I saw, and I was standing right where Octavia Spencer was, which was like enthralling. I literally screamed. I was like, I was just there.
She's
awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. Yeah, so I started that. I started that before I started Never Have I Ever and Surviving R. Kelly, so
yeah.
I was kind of just kind of bored that day where I just kind of watched everything all at once. But yeah, for books, I read kind of at the beginning of quarantine.
What'd you think?
A Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger.
Okay.
It's not my favorite.
Okay. Yeah.
It's not my thing.
Quote, enjoyed it myself. I really enjoy reading it, but it was entertaining nonetheless.
It felt kind of like something
I had to do that.
Have to read in school, which I know it is for, I think, grade 12 at my school. Yeah, it feels kind of like that, so I don't know if that's why I didn't really enjoy it too much. It was really
it was
like,
okay.
Okay. Yeah. I guess I'll say that. Yeah. So that's how I felt about that. Also, The Help, which I talked about earlier. Catherine Stockett wrote that. Fantastic book. Super, super important, especially now. We're even in 2020, we're still having issues with the justice system and prejudice and all that kind of stuff.
That
it was fantastic.
That's great.
Would read it again. Probably will. And If It Bleeds by Stephen King is what is my current read. I got it 2 days ago, and I'm already like halfway through. So it's pretty big dedication. I feel like this is my first Stephen King book that I've ever read, and I, from what I know, I've read bits of The Shining. It's a lot lighter than what he usually writes.
Oh yeah, there's tons of
it. I know there's some pretty grotesque imagery. Whereas in what I'm reading now, it's kind of get pretty beautiful images from it. So, I don't know. I'm only halfway through.
Oh,
we know Mr.
We'll come
King.
Back next time.
Something's gonna happen.
I just finished If It Bleeds.
Yeah, I'm scarred. Yeah. Do you want to talk about what you will be upcoming watching?
I have thought about doing a directorial binge, and I feel like I'm gonna do that with Kubrick, Stanley Kubrick. No, I had a few that I was gonna
did you forget his name
of.
For a second?
And I was like, no, Kubrick.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot that I haven't seen. I'm gonna go from his early films in the 60s all the way to Eyes Wide Shut. And I cannot wait. Yeah, fun.
Sounds fun.
How about you? Are there any movies you're thinking of watching? Ooh.
Yes. So.
Oh, we still haven't
Superbad
finished.
Superbad is at the top of my list.
That's okay.
Not yet, but. There's no reason why I haven't. Mm-hmm. I feel like I just kind of forget that I started it. And I don't know. I liked it from the beginning.
Yeah.
I texted you as soon as I started. I'm like, this is so funny. I love it, but I just haven't gotten around to finishing it. So that's
it's just,
on
top it's just
of gonna
be super bad
watching,
for every time you do this segment.
As well as. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, but I haven't watched it.
Yes.
Hereditary is also on my. To be watched. I was supposed to watch it a couple weeks ago with my brother. But,
it really is
something.
That's all I'm
like,
gonna say.
Came
it's
up
something.
And ended up not. Yeah.
Yes. Such a good
Ari
director.
Ari Aster, come on.
So good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And
oh my
I haven't
gosh.
Seen Midsommar, so that's awesome. It was supposed to be the last movie that I would review for my other podcast for school.
Yeah, if you haven't found out, you know, there's this
down,
little thing
so...
going around, you know?
Yeah. Newsflash.
yes,
Gia
Angelina
is
Jolie.
Another movie that I
want
to watch. Starring Angelina
and
Jolie.
And Mila Kunis.
The queen herself. right, I always forget to say that, but... both Ethan
of
and
course,
Anna are
yes.
Big That 70 Show fans.
Oh my
fans.
Gosh, I quoted on
big
a daily basis.
Big That 70 Show fans. So, Mila Kunis is true. So, same with me and my mom.
Damn, Jack, you can't control
Kunis
the weather.
Is just so amazing.
That's what, oh my god, that's what I
say
to,
that to
like
my
everybody.
Mom every day. Yes. And then sometimes
they
get it,
sometimes
don't, they don't.
They stare at you blankly like.
They're cultured what? If they do.
Who is this Jackie?
Who's Jackie?
Yes.
And then finally, Hateful Eight, which is going to be a movie for my other podcast that I'll be talking about.
Yes.
It's a Tarantino that I haven't watched. So, no reason why I haven't, again. It's just kind of like, I never sit down and remember what I want to watch, so I always end up watching, like, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, like that's why I don't know, but yeah, now that I've kind of fallen out of that slump of not wanting to watch anything, I'm kind of slowly getting back into it, so
is that everything? All right, the French Dispatch,
I think so.
The upcoming film by
yes.
Wes Anderson. I don't know if you've heard of him. We kind of talked about a bit of his films.
Mm-hmm.
Just a little bit, you know.
A little bit.
It has an all-star cast. and I cannot wait. It is my most anticipated film of the 2020 year. I will be there opening night. I hope that theaters are open then. And I just can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So the screenplay is actually just by Wes Anderson. And cinematography is being done by Robert
Yeoman.
Yeoman.
We're sorry.
Which is the same with most Wes Anderson.
Fantastic cinematography.
So we should be expecting
mm-hmm.
Yes, which we do see in the trailer. How were your thoughts on the trailer?
It was my most anticipated movie of the year before the trailer. Now with the trailer, I'm like dying to see it. Like, I think about it every day.
Yeah.
I like what they're doing with the black and white and color and everything. We got Timmy T in there, which is something. What are your thoughts on the trailer?
So I think I saw the announcement for French Dispatch like the day before the trailer dropped, which I felt like I was really late, but at the same time I felt like nobody had been talking about it, so how else would I have, you know, found out? And I was like, I freaked out. I was like on my way to school and I saw a thing for it and I was like, oh my god, new Wes Anderson finally. And yeah, I was freaking out. And then I watched the trailer and I get this beautiful shot of Timmy T and I was like, yes. And I took a look at that cast list and I was like, it's Wes Anderson, but yes. so, but yeah.
Okay.
It's great.
There's so much that can be said about this, but let's think of where to put this. I want to go
into
knowing
nothing
about the
plot.
That's what I like doing with those films. Oh.
Yeah, that's what I went into the Goldfinch. No, like with
all you know is
like,
that Finn and Amber
zero idea of the plot kind of came out. Yep, and I came out knowing nothing about the plot. And honestly, I didn't mind it. So if that's the same thing that happens with French Dispatch,
it
wouldn't be
mad. Beautiful, the cinematography, the characters. It looks so interesting, even by the poster itself, which is so detailed. It's wonderful. It looks awesome.
Yes. Yeah, definitely most anticipated for the year. I feel like a lot of movies that were supposed to come out are just kind of dropped. Like, nobody's gonna have much attention for them. Whereas with French Dispatch,
everybody's
when the theaters open, this is gonna be like what we're going to see and things like that. Whereas I believe I always think of Blonde.
Yeah.
I think that's supposed to be the new Marilyn Monroe film. I feel like that has no attention to it whatsoever, which I was, when I found out about that, I was extremely excited for it.
Exactly.
Because, I mean, come on, Marilyn Monroe. But I'm pretty disappointed that there's no attention being paid to that. But I don't think there was ever a release date.
No, I don't think so.
For
I think it was just announced.
I don't even think there was a poster. The cast list was in given out. Hold on. It was.
I'll talk in a minute.
Sorry,
this
is taking me a
so,
little bit.
So yeah, the French.
I know.
It's pretty cool, you know.
Yes.
You got Saoirse Ronan in there. You got Timmy T. Okay. Thank God. I was losing it there.
Got it. You're good.
Anna de Armas. Yes, pretentious boy over here knows his accents.
Thank you. yes. There's literally no poster for Blonde. It was supposed to come out in 2020. No release date. There are some stills. Wait, do I see
I'm looking this up.
In a still from it? Hold on.
Yeah, in here. I'm checking right now.
Is she actually on the cast, Maya Hawke?
You got this. You got... Da, 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 da. I don't see her. No. Huh. Maybe she's an extra.
Oh, that's weird then.
The director, Andrew Dominic. Oh my gosh, this man's talented.
The queen.
He did the assassination of Jesse James, continued. Yeah, oh, it's just that. By the something. And that's a fan-flipping-tastic movie. So I'm intrigued. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. But it's unfortunate that.
Yeah, just something to get us like.
Even had a movie poster for it, something to get people. I don't even know how I found out about it. I think I literally at the beginning of the year I just looked up 2020 movie releases and saw that at like the very bottom.
It wasn't good. It
the
was
new movie
so
Scoob just came out.
I watched it. To watch something new, just to say that I watched a movie in 2020. And I picked Scoob, because why not? And it, oh my god, it was not good at all.
Might watch it with my brother then.
Yeah, you got Mark Wahlberg. That's the best I can say. You got Mark Wahlberg playing some, like, superhero? I don't know. I lost it. Like, I totally forget what happened in it.
Yeah. I was surprised when you actually said that you watched that, but I shouldn't be.
I find whatever is new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like that's it for movie news, as nothing is really happening.
French Dispatch.
Oscars predictions this year?
Defy Bloods, the new Spike Lee film coming out in June on Netflix. Yeah, those are the only two. Mm-hmm. Oh, Margot Robbie, Best Actress.
Birds of Prey.
Where's her campaign?
We got...
yes.
To All the Boys I Loved Before Part 2.
Oh my
gosh. The Kissing Booth Part 2 is coming out in, I think,
we
July
got the Grudge,
22nd.
The infamous... oh, so good. Oh my god.
We got, like...
So bad. Oh my god.
Oscars this year are going to be
I hope they just
fantastic.
Postpone it so then they can group like 2021 and 2020
fantastic.
Together. I know.
Oh, it's going to be so weird. Zoom. Especially if it's not
Zoom?
Like, if they can't miss a year.
Yeah. Just gets an email. Ooh, you won an award. Like... Okay.
You've
just like they think
Oscars
it's they think it's like a scam, just like delete, go on with their lives.
Imagine. Terrible. Everything going on in the world is pretty awful. But I think we're in Ontario, so phase two has began.
It's fine.
I don't know. I'm currently like 5 hours away from my friends, so it doesn't really affect me in any way. So when I get back, hopefully I'll see them at least, not communicate, but not interact with them. I have to go back to my school to get some things out of my locker.
Yeah.
That's what's going on with me. Yep. Just everyday basis has been like waking up, watching Fresh Prince of Bel Air, and then like kayaking.
That's amazing.
That's
honestly,
like the most exciting thing that I'll do. Right?
Yeah.
Yep. Fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Ethan over here is just watching movies left, right, and middle.
I'm just chilling, watching like hundreds of movies, and it's.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know. Like,
it's finally like socially acceptable.
Oh yeah, everybody's like, yo,
like
because
everybody else is
today.
Doing
like,
it.
Man, those are rookie numbers. You gotta bump those up.
Yeah. No, I see weird things trending on my Netflix all the time, and it's like Back to the Future, like now in top 10, even though Back to the Future's been on Netflix since I think I got Netflix. So it's really interesting to see what everybody's been watching.
Yeah, I think so.
So what do you think? Is that it? All right. So our next podcast, planning either A24, maybe a Tarantino. Underrated.
Oh my gosh.
We won't be talking about like Pulp Fiction or anything.
What if like the one person that listens to this just came on here so they could listen to us talk about Pulp Fiction? Great. There you go. There you go. That's all you
Great
need.
Great film.
Go watch
there
it.
There you
again.
Go. Showed it to my brother, and when we finished it,
yes,
his response
put that
was
on
the
B
movie was better.
Put that on the new restorations. yeah, that, I guess
go.
that's it, and that's all, eh? Yeah.
That's our plans for the next podcast.
Yes.
Hopefully we'll give them out more frequently. We actually were going to do this one earlier, but we saw that Fantastic Mr. Fox was going on Disney Plus, and since we were planning to do Wes Anderson anyways, we just thought we'd wait. I'll wrap it up real quick here. So always remember, Parasite's a good movie, and that's on Timothy Chalamet.
Yes.
Bye, guys.
So good.